White Sox! White Sox!
Go White Sox!
1, 2, 3!
Gone. Moncada ties the game here tonight. Hardeman.
1-1. Abreu is swinging a high fly deep right field.
At the wall. It's gone for a two-run homer.
Second for two. On the first. Triple play. How about that one?
Now, live from the Hilton Chicago, it's special coverage of Sox Fest 2018 on the proud home of everything White Sox, WLS AM 890.
Special coverage indeed from the third and final day of Sox Fest 2018. I'm Connor McKnight. This is White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890. You hear the racket in the background. That is Sox fans gathering to hear from the manager, Ricky Renteria. We'll get things started right away with the skipper of your 2018 White Sox. Ricky, good to see you. We've talked a couple of times, I think, over the first couple of days of Sox Fest. I know that your players have come down to Salon B here, where we're broadcasting from, and been really happy with everything here the last couple of days, the fan reception, the excitement for the club. I'm sure you feel a lot the same way.
We're extremely excited about the upcoming season, and we're really excited about all the fans that are here with us today and have been here through the week of the opening of the Sox Fest. And I know we're going to come to a conclusion here soon, but we're as excited as everybody is that's here, and we appreciate certainly all of their support and the guys that we have. It's real. I know I keep telling everybody it's real. It'll just be a matter of connecting their talents with the ability to execute and go out there and have some fun and win some ball games.
So we've had a couple of your young men come by the station and come by the show in the last 2 days. We did a three-hour show yesterday, and I want to make sure I have the guest list right because the names are important. We had Lucas Giolito.
Yeah.
We had Nicky Delmonico. We had Carlos Rodon. We had Tim Anderson all stop by. Jason Benetti was here too, but
okay.
We'll talk more about the players. And with those guys, I felt this. There was a real self-assured confidence in a very good way from all those young men. Tim was quiet last season, a quiet guy in general. Carlos is not all that outspoken, but still has a confidence to him. I wonder if you're seeing, probably not for the first time, because you're with these guys every day, but I think we're seeing for the first time these guys come out of their shell and take their right as a ball player in this league.
I think what happens is, you know, as these guys continue to establish themselves as Major League Baseball players and have success, it allows them a little bit more of the confidence that it's kind of they're backing up what they believe in themselves capable of doing. And then you have some results that start telling you that, yeah, maybe I can be here, I can perform here, I can succeed here. And I think every single year is a growing experience, both physically and emotionally. And in the confidence, it's, you know, anything you do, it's all about confidence. And I think when we talk about believing in them, you know, we always ask them to make sure that they believe in themselves. And I think it kind of goes hand in hand. And they're growing to be wonderful Major League Baseball players and people.
Talking with Ricky Renteria here on White Sox Weekly, here Sox Fest 2018. I want to show you something that I started to doodle while I was getting ready for the show here.
Okay.
And I know that you've done the same thing this offseason. We talked about it on Wednesday, so you can't even tell me that you haven't. You know what's coming. I've written down a lineup.
I know you have. Yeah.
Just a couple. Yeah. And it's harder than I thought when I scratched out a bunch on the paper already. Yeah. So I'll read it for those listening and those here, but you're looking at it. I know you're shaking your head already. You hate this.
No, I'm looking at it.
Yoán Moncada, Yolmer Sanchez, Jose Abreu, Avi Garcia, Nicky Delmonico. I needed a lefty in the middle of that lineup somewhere there. I like to balance some things out.
There you go.
Tim Anderson, Wellington Castillo, Lurie Garcia, probably a little lower than he ought to be.
Wow.
Switch hitter there, and then Adam Engel in the 9 spot holding up everything. You and I talked a couple of times this last season. I asked you, and I don't know if you were happy answering it, but I asked you. You like the switch hitters, two of them at the top of the lineup.
I do.
How come?
I think it gives us flexibility. It doesn't force me to do anything at the top when I know these guys are possibly getting a lot of at-bats during a ball game, especially if they're proficient and balanced on both sides of the plate. It allows them to be able to get turned around and still be effective. I think usually you try to split them up a little bit more, but I think you have to take into account their ability to go ahead and hit on both sides of the plate and keep them in a position that's still going to give you an opportunity to take advantage of their capabilities.
With a lot of these guys, Yoan, Yolmer, Nicky, even Tim to a certain point, Lurie, Engel, if he is the center fielder, obviously, there are... I wonder how you balance where they need to be in a lineup and how the lineup itself needs to be constructed. These guys are going to prove themselves for really the first time in a whole season the coming year.
Well, I think we have a great problem because the depth of the lineup now as you say, you're scratching your head and you've scratched things out. You go, God, this looks good. This does, wow. I mean, I can use any number of guys in that makeup. And I think we try to go to multiple things. We use matchup sheets. We try to see where we believe they're going to be able to be more effective within that lineup against the people that they're facing. Mm-hmm. At the same time, some guys, when they're starting to run a little hot, you try to make sure you find a way to keep them going and you want to keep them participating. So the beauty of the club that we have is we have a lot of flexibility. I mean, Yomer can play multiple positions. Lurie can play multiple positions. All of our outfielders actually can probably play multiple positions, but we're trying to sort out and keeping them in a position that will be most advantageous for us, along with now a DH slot that allows me to keep using those bats and move them around and take advantage of all of them.
You mentioned the chance to be flexible in this lineup. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that also extends to the bullpen. I've bugged you before about the idea of it maybe not using a closer, being multiple in some ideas late in that game.
Yeah.
You've mentioned trying to talk to guys about blocking out which three outs you're getting and trying to level things out to that point. I wonder, you know, how those conversations go with guys who are new to the system and, you know, guys like Joaquin Soria who have been doing it for a dozen years.
You know, Joaquin's been doing multi situations, I think, even with Kansas City. I think it depends on the leverage, what they're capable of doing, what the matchup may look like. When we get into spring training, and we started it last year, when the pitchers and catchers reported, we talked about concentrating on getting outs as opposed to innings.
Yeah.
And I think it started to kind of take hold with them. They understood what we were talking about. The most important thing is to make sure that every opportunity they get to record the out, we're going to take advantage of. And if that means giving them the best matchups possible, if the situation calls for us using somebody which may not be necessarily in the ninth and it might be the eighth, possibly the seventh, but maybe the eighth, in which it's the most important moment, that might, you know, determine the outcome possibly of the ball game. Having full confidence, obviously, in the guys that we have throughout the bullpen, being able to mix and match and allow them to still be able to either hold, close, or set up. So I think it just depends on each individual. We want them to feel comfortable in what they're doing, but we want them to also know that we think in a flexible manner so that they're always available and ready to pitch.
Talking with White Sox manager Ricky Renteria here on White Sox Weekly. We had Lucas Giolito stop by yesterday.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite moments of the 2017 season was a day that Lucas was on the mound. I told him, you know, I want to talk about this and here's where we're going. And I look at him and I go, so you're in Detroit. You're playing Detroit. And he knew exactly what we were talking about from day one, from minute one. It was bases loaded. You went out there to the mound, you challenged the young man. You told him that that was his game. He mentioned, too, to us, you know, when he was talking, that he woke up that morning committed, determined, obsessed with getting his first win in the big leagues, too. I wonder if that moment sticks out to you as much as it does to others, to Lucas. And as you walked out there to Lucas, what was going through your head knowing that this is a young man that you get to challenge at this point?
I think that you've got to make sure that when you're talking to these guys, they're focused on the moment and what they're supposed to do. I don't know. Sometimes we go out there more to make sure that they have the right mindset and the right plan of attack. I do look in their eyes. I know people think in terms of simply numbers. There's a balance. There's a balancing act with statistics and what an individual is capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to allow them an opportunity. And as Rick Hahn has mentioned many times, we had the flexibility and based on where we were at in terms of the makeup of the club to allow these guys to experience certain moments that might allow them to gain some experience, whether success or failure, and then go through it with them. So I think at this point, these young men have been showing that they're capable. We have the utmost trust in them, but we also take into account the other 24 men that are fighting for a ball game.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure that they know that their efforts don't go for naught. And if we have to make a change, we make that change according to that particular situation.
Are the challenges you can issue in spring training with men who may not be on the 25-man roster, guys who, you know they're going to AA or AAA at some point, do you have the ability, is it the same in spring training, that you have a chance to offer those challenges to those young men, whether it's throwing them in that lineup against, you know, a Clayton Kershaw who's going to start perhaps, you know, against the White Sox in that first spring training game?
I think that every opportunity that we get, including spring training, offers them a chance to experience some difficult moments, some pressing moments. I know that for the most part, there's no professional athlete or anybody that competes, including spring training, that doesn't feel that when they go out there, they want to do well. And our job is to make sure that they know how they're going about doing what they're going to do at that particular moment. And so they want to do well in spring, regular season. It doesn't matter. A competitor is a competitor. We just want to make sure they're taking the proper approach.
How have your conversations with Carlos Rodon gone about his getting back to the throwing program? He told us he's going to start that on Monday, which is tomorrow, I think. It's Sunday, right? And I wonder, as spring training comes around, since we began to talk about it, it's going to be, it seems, kind of a wait and see. He's just going to have to throw and report back some, it sounds like.
That's pretty much it. I think what we're the tact we're taking is to allow him the freedom to feel completely comfortable with the recovery process, the building up process to get him back onto the field, because once we get him back on there, we want to make sure we've given it every opportunity to allow him to be able to finish the season. So wherever that might be, I think his body will tell us, his effort, his, you know, his work will tell us. Obviously, he's got to be comfortable emotionally and physically with what he's doing. We are certainly not pressing the issue. We want to make sure that he's completely fine and ready to go. He's been working very hard. He feels very comfortable about the procedure that was in cleaning him up a little bit. He feels very good about everything that's been going on to this point, and he seems and feels very optimistic. And I shared some time with him in the hitter's camp. He was in, he's there in Arizona, you know, still going through his process of healing and working. And I explained to him that we're not going to put him in any position to press. We want him to be right, and when he's ready, we'll go.
I wonder if you mentioned the hitter's camp, and I can't let you get away without talking a bit about it. It was a display of talent. Rick Hahn has mentioned he was very pleased with how the message that was delivered was both received and, you know, delivered. I wonder if you could share just a little bit of what the message was at that point. I mean, obviously you guys were working through, you know, technique and, you know, balance and stuff, but there were it seems to be a conversation there too.
Yeah, there were conversations every morning before they went out to do their work. Todd Steverson, all the hitting coaches from the minor league system, our hitting coordinators, Getzey, our minor league director, they were all there. Basically going over approaches, plan of attack, terminology, things of that nature, that we are all on the same page in terms of what we're looking for situationally, how to handle certain situations. I think it was more us listening to them speak to give us a sense of who they were, what they thought. It was a lot of questions asked on both sides, and I think that we developed a little bit more insight about our hitters. They're actually a little more advanced than you might think in terms of their thought process. And so it was a really good hitting camp. It ran for 6 days, and I think that we hammered a lot in terms of understanding our guys and getting information across and making sure that we were all on the same page and how we're going to continue to move forward with how we play the game here in Chicago.
So, Ricky, pitchers and catchers report in about 2 weeks, 2 weeks and 2 days, something like that. You are known for being at the ballpark a little earlier than everybody else. I figure you're there in, what, 8 days, probably down there in Glendale, getting things ready to roll?
We'll be there in about four.
Okay, yeah. 4 days is what it is. What do you start doing before guys get down there? What's on your checklist to accomplish as a coaching staff, as a manager, before you've got actual players involved?
Well, I'll continue to look at the makeup of the invitees, look at how we're going to incorporate them in games, try to get a little bit more background on them, particularly as individuals. You know, put my head together as to how I'm going to try to connect them all to each other.
You take this lineup sheet with you if you want. Yeah. Take the one I did. Just walk that on down.
And just try to create an environment, hopefully, as we did last year, that's inviting, that's looking to work. Allowing these guys to get as comfortable as possible in their baseball shoes, so to speak, and get ready to prepare for 200.
Ricky, appreciate it as always. Great talking baseball with you. Looking forward to spring training getting going.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks
so
for having
much.
Me.
Ricky Renteria, White Sox manager here on White Sox Weekly. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you'll hear from Eloy Jimenez. Jake Berger is going to join us after 12:30. I'm Connor McKnight. This is WLS AM 890.
What's your favorite White Sox memory?
Easy. Mark Burley's perfect game. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Great shot to short. Ramirez has it. Throws. Burley picks the perfect game. His second no-hitter.
Still get the goosebumps every time I think about it.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight. It is our third and final day of broadcasting here at Sox Fest 2018. We are still in Salon B. We haven't left. I slept here overnight just behind the pop-up here. Just easier that way. Sox fans, it's never too early to lock in a 2018 ticket package. Full and partial ticket plans are available, including a lower-level 10-game plan starting at $230. You can take advantage of great benefits like discounted pricing and flexible payment plans. For more information, call 312-674-1000 or visit whitesox.com. You know, a lot of Sox fans are here at Sox Fest and documenting the proceedings on social media. A young man, Thatcher, who's got an Instagram at southside.central. Follow him over there. He's got a bunch of players following him, taking pictures and getting autographs, all that kind of stuff. You can follow us on Twitter at C1McKnight. That's the Twitter handle. We had a couple of questions for Ricky Renteria come in, and we will ask some more to Jake Berger when he sits down with us right after the 12:30 news. And Ricky got down with us a little bit early. Go figure. Ricky Renteria early for something. He's always there, always ready to roll. So I'm going to do a little bit of producing on the air. I hope you don't mind. Tyler, we've got a chance to play this interview with Eloy Jimenez here, don't we? We got a few minutes before we have to get to news. All right, Tyler's told me that yes, in fact, we do. So Eloy came by after the show was over yesterday. We had the Bulls pregame Friday. We had the Bulls pregame show at 6:30. Eloy came by about 6:45, something like that. So we have a chance to bring it back to you here. Billy Russo, the Spanish translator for the White Sox, came down with. Billy just sat and watched. Aloy's command of English is, I think, remarkable. So we'll play this interview here for you. And Jake Berger's coming up in just a couple of minutes. I'll be back after the interview to tell you what's up and where you can ask questions for Jake. But here's Eloy Jimenez. So, a few minutes to hang out with Eloy Jimenez here at Sox Fest 2018. Eloy, you're first. Welcome to Sox Fest. What do you think so far?
Thank you very much. It's pretty fun meeting new guys and see all crazy fans we have in Chicago.
You know, they're incredibly excited about the young crop of players coming up, you especially. What do you say to fans who can't wait to see you on the South Side, who can't wait to see you in a major league uniform? I know you're ready to get there too.
Wait a little more, and when we get there, and just come and support us, and that's all I really want to say to the fans.
When you were at the hitters camp this last week, I think it was, sitting down with a couple of guys, some guys you knew, some guys you didn't know, obviously. Rick Hahn has mentioned that the talent was pretty obvious. I'm sure it was to you, too. What was it like to gel with some of those guys that you did know and didn't know and see everybody kind of come together a little bit?
Was really fun, like, meeting new guys. They just, like me, like young talent. They just try to make fun on everything, and that's really special for me. That's really good.
Was it, I mean, I know you guys have, you know, there's a couple of Cuban guys involved in the organization, and I guess the conversation between Yoan and Luis Robert was a pretty solid one. I guess they kind of got along well. Did you notice it too?
Yeah, like those guys are really nice persons, and they know each other, like, but they try to meet another guys, like especially Americans guys, mm-hmm. and they try to speak the same language, and we try to speak the same language, and that's pretty awesome. Like, that's good. Like, meet those guys and talk with them, and try to know them, like especially when like personally. That is pretty awesome.
So we have, obviously, there's a bunch of different ways to say home run, right? You get to say dinger or, you know, all that kind of stuff. I need to know your favorite nickname for a home run in Spanish and in English. And if it's the same one, then that's fine, but maybe they're different.
Because for me, like when I'm doing the pregame show or the postgame, I can't stop myself from saying dinger. I think it's just more fun than anything else in the world.
It's
dinger, right?
Dinger. It's good.
Is your favorite? Do you have a favorite one in Spanish? How else can you say home? What's your favorite way to say home run that's not saying home run in Spanish?
Para la calle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Roughly translated, that is, I mean, it's probably just home run, right?
Get out of here.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Awesome. Well, Aloy, we'll see a bunch of you getting out of here, I think, out of the ballpark this coming season. And we'll see you at Guarantee Rate sooner rather than later.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got it. Take care.
Aloy Jimenez had a couple of minutes to stop by, so we figured we'd air that for you instead of, you know, not doing it, I guess. Spring training is coming quick. Join the Bulls Sox Youth Academy on President's Day, February 19th, for a fun 3-hour baseball or basketball camp. If you got two sports stars, you can make a day of it by having fun developing your skills in both sports. Camps are open to boys and girls ages 5 to 14. Call 630-PLAY-BALL or visit BullsSoxAcademy.com to register today. We've got Jake Berger coming up on the show. Jake, pick up the mic real quick, will you? I mean, just—I know you're very interested in the podcast business. You and Nikki Delmonico.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what you do: is you lay down a little bit of a tease.
All right.
Just like 30, 45 seconds. You know, Jake Berger's coming up on the show. We've got news in just a few seconds. But Jake, you and I, we're going to talk about the business of podcasts.
Oh, I can't wait.
We're talking about hitting too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, podcast first.
Yeah, podcast first. We'll talk about the baseball later. He's Jake Berger. I'm Connor McKnight. That's what's next on White Sox Weekly, WLS AM 890.
Yoan Moncada swinging a fly ball deep center field. This is tagged. But the track is at the wall. The kid's hit his first home run.
Moncada, that's what you call leaning on the breaking ball.
A memorable moment.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on day 3 of Sox Fest 2018. Our final guest of 3 days here at Sox Fest. Yeah, you didn't know.
Final one.
You didn't know you were closing things out,
wow.
Did you, Jake Berger?
Wow.
It's Jake Berger, the first round pick of the White Sox in last year's draft. I'm Connor McKnight. Jake, you are, as I've heard, interested in the podcast business. You and PIC Nikki Delmonico apparently interested in getting into this. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of woke up this morning and I'm like, hey, like our podcast yesterday was incredible. I mean,
sure.
You know, you felt the chemistry and, you know, I'm like, we could seriously do this. And, you know, I sent out a tweet with a poll. And right now it's sitting at like 84% yes for we should do it. And honestly, I want to find those 16% that said no and just ask why.
So but, I haven't voted yet. And I figured I, you know,
you want being, me to sell you on it or
yeah, no, I mean, I knew you were coming down here. You and I were going to have a couple of minutes and I'd like to be moved to vote yes. I didn't want to just, you know, it's a Sox player, a guy who knows.
Yeah.
I want to be moved. Get
right.
me there.
I mean, honestly,
what am I going to hear on this podcast?
This is my thought.
Can't hear in other places.
I mean, obviously, you got the player, you know, talking about themselves,
sure.
and what's going on, you know, personal. So it's not like a third party who's like,
yeah,
giving you this information.
Like some pre and post game host on
yeah,
White Sox
yeah,
radio,
I know, like,
doing,
yeah,
doing
guy's...
some show at Sox Fest. I mean, my God, who wants to listen?
Exactly.
To that?
But no, I mean, I was thinking like just once a week. Me and Nikki just kind of go through what we're working on, probably share some interesting stories, and then, you know, have players on, you know? I mean, if one day we want to have Fulmer on or Giolito, I mean, like, we can have them on for 5 minutes, and I think Sox fans would really enjoy that.
So the other part of doing podcasts, as you get successful, you'll have to do reads. You'll have to do sponsorship. You know, you'll have to do that kind of stuff, whether it's MeUndies or, you know, whether Blue Apron, something like
Snuggie,
that.
Snuggie.
You want to you want to give that a go here? This is a read for the White Sox. This is,
which one is it?
Yeah, the one right here. Both of them. It's this one first, and that's the second half. This is what we call in the business a cold read. I haven't let you look at this at all.
You've just
kind of got to go top to bottom here. Go ahead. Take a whip at it.
All right. Join us in Glendale, Arizona for White Sox spring training.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Single game tickets for the 2018 Cactus League season at Camelback Ranch are on sale now and start at just
$10. $10? Jake, can that be true?
It can be true. To purchase these tickets, go online and visit whitesox.com/spring.
Give me that website one more time.
whitesox.com/spring or Camelback Ranchbaseball.com. You can also call 1-800-352-0000. 0212. Beautiful. But don't do that. Use online.
Go online. Go on. That's actually pretty well done, Jake. I'll tell you what. I'm going to vote yes on the
poll. The voice inflection, you know.
Very good.
Very charismatic.
You know, you got through the website real clean.
Yeah.
Those are always tough. Yeah, you got to enunciate.
You got to enunciate well.
You hit the T's on the dot. Yeah. Otherwise, it just sounds like you're mumbling through the thing.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Let's talk a little baseball, my friend.
All right.
What was your first season making that jump from the college ball into pro ball like? Moving up a level is always tough. Mm-hmm. That move is, I got to imagine, unlike any other you're going to make, except for when you go AAA to the pros eventually.
Yeah, no, I think the daily schedule is probably the biggest jump. I would say that the pitching level and the level of play is probably similar. I would say the depth is more, obviously.
Sure.
But I would say just the daily schedule. I mean, you got to get in a routine where you're playing every single day. You know, I'm living in an apartment with six dudes. You know, and you gotta take that into account on an air mattress. Like, so it's a little different in that sense, and that's probably the biggest adjustment. And you just really got to take care of your body.
You allowed yourself to think over this winter what your assignment's going to be yet? You know, do you let yourself get out there just for a minute before bringing it back to what you've got to do every day?
I mean, I feel like your mind always wanders, but you know, you got to realize what's best for you and your expectations. And I mean, the White Sox have their expectations, and they know what they want to see you do this season. So. You know, any way you can help the organization, I feel like that's what I'm going for. So, I mean, yeah, your mind's going to wander, but wherever the organization needs you, I mean, that's ultimately where you're going to end up.
We had Ricky Renteria, the skipper, on here before you came on. You guys shared a man hug as you went through. Everybody has said, and we talked about this some on the first round panel that we were on Friday, how, I don't know, real he is. You tell me the adjective that you want to use for Ricky Renteria when it comes from big leaguers to all the way down to minor leaguers.
Yeah, I think real is probably the best word for it. I mean, he treats the minor league guys, he treats the Great Falls guys, the AZL guys, just as well as he does the major league guys. And that's what you want to see in a manager. And I think that's what creates a good clubhouse once all those guys get up, you know, that they felt a part of the team before they were even up there. So,
He talks a lot about how, you know, if you get drafted, you're a pro player, regardless of how you got to, you know, this White Sox organization, you've got a fire in you. You don't want to fail. I wonder, though, if there's, you know, being a first-round pick, knowing that this system, and for those who just got onto the show, the MLB Pipeline 100 came out. The White Sox have seven top 100 prospects. Knowing the system is as jacked as it is, it's your job to make a dent. It's your job to let people know that you're here. Any extra chip there? Any extra drive from that?
I mean, yeah, you're playing with great guys like every day, you know, day in and day out. And so I think that gives you the competitive edge, you know, where it's like, yeah, like we're all pushing each other to be the best we can. And we know that. We know that we have a great farm system and we got great guys already up there. So it's like, I mean, obviously this is – you got to work as hard as you possibly can to achieve your goals. So. Yeah, I mean, playing with those guys is awesome. I mean, you don't get to play with we have seven out of 100. Yeah, I mean, like, and I'll get to play with a lot of those guys. You know, so it's definitely fun and exciting, and you know, I think we're all just ready for spring training.
What is Sox Fest like for you now? You grew up a White Sox fan. Mm-hmm. Your favorite player was Paul Konerko. You have been part of this organization as a kid, and now you get to sit up here and smile and wear the pinstripes. Have you had a chance to realize where you're at?
I think last night was where I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. You know, I got back from dinner and signed some autographs in the lobby and, you know, just had that interaction between the fans. And, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, every kid wants to play for their favorite team growing up.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's there's no words. I mean, I'm definitely blessed. And just interacting with the fans is awesome. I mean, you see how Jim Thome treated the fans and Konerko and, I mean, going Mark Burley. I mean, you know, like, it's just all great dudes. And this organization has been known to have a lot of those guys. And the fans are great, too. You know, they embrace everybody. And so it's been just an unbelievable weekend.
What's the next couple of weeks look like for you, Jake, as we you know, get closer and closer to pitchers and catchers, closer and closer to spring training? I know you've got a little bit of downtime before I think you jack things up some.
Yeah, so I'm going to fly to Springfield. And so last year we went to the Super Regional, and we have a ring ceremony on Tuesday at a basketball game.
Very
so,
cool. Very
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, all the guys are going to go back, a lot of the pro guys, and you know, we'll tell our stories for a couple
tell
more
lies
days
for a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'll be back in AZ and, you know, getting ready to go. You know, I think we start the 19th. Pitchers and catchers report like the 14th. So just I'm excited.
So what are the check marks for your first spring training with a major league organization? I mean, I'm sure that you've got goals for yourself. Mm-hmm. The organization will have some, too. I like to ask, you know, what boxes, what do they look like? And, you know, if you can split them up between, you know, the hitting side of things and the defensive side of things, too, for us, because I think people are interested to see, you know, where you fit both sides.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the first and foremost thing is just learn as much as you can.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to be in a locker room with a lot of guys that have a lot of MLB experience. So, I mean, asking as many questions as you can and getting as much information as you can to get to that level in the regular season, I mean, is very important. So I think that's the first and foremost. And then, I mean, defensively, I mean, obviously just always working on the range and just, again, learning, you know. I mean, there's probably little things and little ticks that I don't know yet. Mm-hmm. And these guys that have this experience know. So learning that and obviously always working on the range. And then at the plate, again, learning, I mean, what's my zone and how to be disciplined in certain situations and when to be aggressive. And I think that, again, that comes with being in the locker room with a lot of guys that have experience.
How has hot yoga helped the range at third base?
It's helped a lot, for real. I mean, I've been miserable through it, but, you know, I'm grinding through it. But
well, you know, you build character when you're miserable, so that's a good. Yeah. You're clearly doing the right thing there. For those who don't know, some faces in the crowd, maybe they didn't hit the seminar. Yeah. You and Nicky Delmonico have apparently taken up, through Groupon, some
Cyber
hot yoga.
Monday, incredible deal. Yeah, yoga. I mean, first day we go in and we go to the hottest part of the room, not knowing, of course, and. I mean, we're 15 minutes in, and me and Nicky are looking at each other like, what did we get into? And, like, this is hell. And the people behind us, like, not sweating, you know, just normal. Like,
we come here every month.
Doing the splits. I'm like, yeah, I can't. It's unbelievable.
What,
so.
Honestly, what are the exercises you work on? Exercise is probably a stupid word. To work on range. How do you get better in the off season? Getting left, getting right, you know, being that guy that you want to be.
It's a lot of, like, agility and side-to-side work with resistant bands. So
plyo stuff?
Yeah, plyo stuff. Sure. Different types of jumping and explosiveness. I mean, that's you got to build those quick twitch muscles up. And, you know, I think that's what I've kind of strived for this off season is because I already know I'm strong.
Yeah.
You know, I can bench, but can I get to a ball, you know, 3 feet out of my range from last year, you know? And so I think that was the goal this year. And the strength and conditioning coaches have been unbelievable with that. And, you know, every day we're doing some sort of agility and resistant band work to work on that explosiveness.
Jake, appreciate you stopping by. Great talking with you. Best of luck on the podcast.
Thank you.
Just when it gets real big and famous, don't forget to pitch White Sox Weekly.
I give you a shout and
help us out.
Get you on. I mean,
happy to guest for you every time you need it. Jake Berger, everybody, White Sox first round draft pick here at Sox Fest, and our final guest on White Sox Weekly.
Yeah.
Over these
Put
last
a check
couple
mark
of days,
on that one.
We will wrap things up when we come back. Jake's got a plane to catch. Thanks so much. This
Thank
is
you.
WLS AM 890.
The swing and a high fly ball left center field. He's going to join the 500 club. Cooley's hit his 500. Yes!
Look alive, Chicago. The Sox are heard here.
On the WLS White Sox Radio Network.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight. It is our last couple of minutes at Sox Fest 2018. Can you believe it? It was here. And real quickly, it has gone, but a good time, I think, had by everybody. Players, prospects, coaches, front office, and of course, Sox fans here at the Hilton in Chicago. It has been a blast, and we've been privileged to bring it to you. Had a lot of guests over the first 3 days. Over these 3 days, I'm going back through all of them, making sure I don't forget anybody. We had Hawk Harrelson on Friday with the Steve Dahl show. We had Aloy Jimenez. Well, we talked to him Friday and then aired that interview today. Ed and DJ stopped by the David Hochberg show Saturday morning, and then Saturday afternoon here on White Sox Weekly, we had Lucas Giolito, Jason Benetti, Nicky Delmonico, Carlos Rodon, and Tim Anderson. And just this afternoon, we had the manager, Ricky Renteria, and we just said goodbye to first-round pick Jake Berger, who's going to take off and head back to the old stomping grounds at Missouri State. It's been a lot of fun talking to all these guys, and it's been a lot of fun talking to you Sox fans as well, just about your excitement for the 2018 team. We're going to learn a lot about this, about what the next phase of the White Sox looks like and how it's going to evolve. If you missed any of the shows or any of the interviews, you can head over to the website, WLSAM.com/White Sox. You can download all of our podcasts there in case you missed any interviews. You can pick them up. I highly recommend the one we just finished with Jake Berger. He's a funny dude and trying to get started in the podcast business. Give him a follow on Twitter. Tell him you'd like his podcast if he did one. But if you do, you're contractually obligated to listen to White Sox Weekly every single Saturday and or Sunday that we're on too. So just know that, you know, when you're hitting the yes button. Also, White Sox games are better with a group. Group events are perfect for clients, employees, celebrating or fundraising. Bring your group of 10 or more for a great experience. With specially priced tickets, it's never too early to start planning 2018. For more information, call 312-674-6330. That's 312-674-6330 or visit whitesox.com. A couple other things we want to get to here before we wrap up the show for the afternoon. And this is really helpful for our show. We should have wish we would have collaborated more with MLB.com on this, but the top 100 prospects just came out this morning. The White Sox have 7 in the top 100 list. It is a stacked class for the White Sox, to be sure. And to be quite honest with you, a placement of a few of them has surprised me just a little bit. Here's the makeup of the top 100 for what it's worth. The top prospect in all of baseball. And the way they do this on MLB Pipeline is if you have your rookie eligibility, you are eligible for this list, which means... And it's a little bit of a workaround. I'm going to look at him somewhat differently. The same way I looked at Jose Abreu a little bit differently when he came up his rookie season. That's not to say they're not deserving of the praise and making it happen their first year in the big league. Shohei Ohtani, who was just signed by the Angels a few weeks ago, is the number one prospect in all of baseball based on MLBPipeline.com's list. Ronald Acuna of the Braves is number 2. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is number 3. He, a third baseman of the Blue Jays, and dad, just getting into the Hall of Fame. Eloy Jimenez is number 4 on that list and the first White Sox to appear in the top 100. We've talked a lot about the excitement that surrounds Sox Fest 2018. A lot of that has to do with guys like Eloy Jimenez and the rest on this list. Some major league talent, too, to be sure. And we'll get to watch all that develop. 10 on the list on the top 100 MLB pipeline is Michael Kopech. He is the second pitcher rated. Forrest Whitley of the Houston Astros, who's an absolute giant. I think he goes something like 6'7", 6'8". He's Alec Hansen size, or maybe just a bit shorter. But big dude, Forrest Whitley, the number one pitcher in prospect lists, if you're not counting Shohei Ohtani. So I'm kind of working around here. Michael Kopech is 10 overall. Luis Robert lands at 28. I am fascinated to see Luis Robert work in spring training. I have not seen him swing stateside except for the hitter's camp, which is, you know, BP. Got excited about those 3 swings that the White Sox tweeted out a gif of, but understand that you have to kind of couch that in some reality. Baseball Prospectus listed him, I believe it was 4 or 5 in the White Sox organization, and what they had written up, and they didn't put him in their top 100 for the initial rankings, just not enough tape, not enough to look at and really know what those scouts wanted to know. That's why his landing at 28 here is a little bit interesting to me. I certainly understand that the White Sox have picked up the talent there. They see it. But it'll be really fun to watch where his assignment lands, watch where his, you know, spring training at bats kind of end up, where he's, you know, which backfields he's playing on. I'm sure he'll get a number of at bats in big league camp and in some spring training games. When and where will be a lot of fun to watch. Alec Hansen lands at number 54 for the White Sox. Dylan Cease at 61. 92 is Dane Dunning, and 99 is Blake Rutherford. Alec Hansen jumping up the list. He led all of minor league baseball in strikeouts last season. Haven't had a chance to talk with him yet this Sox Fest, doing some shows and bouncing around, but we'll talk to him for sure. I think you'll hear from him on a White Sox Weekly during spring training at some point. Hansen could have been 1-1 coming out. I feel like we've talked about this a lot, right? I feel like Nick Hostetler has mentioned this a couple of times, too. Hansen could have been picked 1-1 had he come out his junior season from Oklahoma. His senior season was a rough one. He has rebounded, figured things out. And you got to imagine that with Richard Dotson being reassigned to the double-A pitching staff, the double-A pitching coach, that a number of guys, whether it's Dunning or Hansen or others that may ascend to that to that team, the idea there is to make sure that that kind of eye, that veteran touch of Dotson is put on to Hansen and Dane Dunning, getting those finishing touches on some of those arms. Dylan Cease is an intriguing one to be sure. Just a couple of innings with the White Sox after being traded over from the Cubs in the Jose Quintana deal. He is at 92, I believe we mentioned that. And Blake Rutherford is at 99. His assignment, really the lower minors, A, double A, has, you know, the White Sox have a good problem there with a logjam of outfielders, Rutherford being one of them. You've got Alex Call and Jameson Fisher. There's a lot of guys down there who are going to have to fight for some playing time, I think, during spring training. And, you know, I love job battles when we get to spring. They're much more noticeable at the major league level, of course, because they're playing games on TV and they're on the big field. But those battles happen too on the backfields, and they're mostly good natured, but they understand, those guys understand that there's jobs to fight for and there's opportunities to be had. So we'll have that in spring training as well. I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait to get going. We're going to wrap things up here in just a second, but first I got to tell you this. There is no better way to watch a White Sox game than in premium seating. The Chicago White Sox offer all-inclusive club areas, private suites, and the best locations and accommodations. We have the perfect option for two people or the whole office. For more information, call 312-674-6330 or visit whitesox.com. Our first show, my first show here on White Sox Weekly, was at SoxFest 2 years ago. Happy to be here again. Love SoxFest, our third, and looking forward to a whole lot more. Thanks to everybody for coming up and saying hi throughout the weekend. We'll bring you some White Sox Weekly from spring training in just a little bit here. It's right around the corner. Ricky Renteria is heading down there in 4 days to get things started. Going to get there early and work out some lineups. We'll do the same over the next week, and maybe we'll call Ricky, run a couple by him. Thanks to all our guests. Thanks to Patrick Berger, our engineer here on site, and Tyler Bravo, our producer back at the Shed, our wonderful promotions department as well. They have played Connect Four all 3 days long, and I think undefeated, actually. I don't think anybody's taken them down, so that's been impressive to watch as well. That's some of the noise you've been hearing in the background. I'm Connor McKnight. Thanks so much for listening. We will talk to you next week on White Sox Weekly. This is WLS AM 890.
You've been listening to White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball. Listen every week for White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890, the proud home for White Sox baseball.